Thank you for listening to the Resting Place Church podcast. Our dream is that your heart would find rest as we learn to practice the ways of Jesus faithfully. So we hope this message both blesses and encourages you.
I'm just going to intro our series this morning, and it's called Our Sacred Rhythm. And I'm going to be going through our ways of life over the next few weeks and kind of talking to you about what those mean and kind of talking to you about how to get those to be a part of your everyday rhythm of life. And I don't believe that your life, this was a popular thing. There's actually a book out that's it's all about this. It's called The Power of Moments. And I actually think that your life is defined by a few big moments, but I think those moments are set up by your rhythms more than just like them just happening, right? Have you ever met those people? It's like, man, or you think like, man, they're just really lucky. And what you don't see is like all of the work they put in behind and all of the ways of life that they adopted to get to where they're at. And then you see this moment happen for them, and you're like, oh, that's just luck. And it's like, no, they've been living in some sort of rhythm for a long time that let one of these moments pop just like that. And so what I believe that rhythms are, and the church has taught this for thousands of years, that there is a rhythm of life that you should adopt, and it's the rhythm of Jesus, right? Jesus lived at a certain pace. He lived at a certain rhythm. Also, I have my hand on these water bottles. If you want one, they're in the lobby for sale, $10. Okay, just had to throw that in there real quick. Shirts in the lobby for sale, $10. If you'd have been here at the team night last night, they wouldn't have been $10, but I'm not going to tell you what we gave them away for. So it's on you. So rhythms of life, you need them. I'm sorry, I'm ADD this morning and excited because Will made the bass rattle my bones, and it's just a good day in the house of God. Man, if we get a ticket, blame Will, not me. I didn't. So, anyways, rhythms of life. I think in the culture that we live in, everybody wants their moment. They want it to pop off. They want it to do something crazy. But they forget everything that leads up to that. And so there's a fantastic book called A 3 Mile an Hour God. And the entire premise of the book, if I could just say a thesis that the book may have, it's this. It says, above all else, trust the slow work of God in your life. Above all else, trust the slow work of God in your life. And I feel like a lot of people think that God works in a miraculous way, just like in the everyday. And he does, right? He does. But how many of you would say it does not always feel like that I'm living inside of a miracle? It does not always feel like that I'm living inside of one of those moments in God where it's just everything is bliss. And one of the things that I think is important is that we don't just focus on those moments, but we don't eliminate those moments either. We create a rhythm of life that creates margin and space for those moments to happen, right? The reason that we have a rhythm of life or a way of life or an order that we follow here at Resting Place Church is to create margin for God to move. There's no other reason, right? There's no other reason. It's to create space for the Spirit of God to work in our lives in the everyday. And I think the what happens in modern church culture a lot of times is they say, you have to give your life up to be a part of this church. And when you do that, you either have to have a really, really, really great charismatic leader, or you have to have a group of people who are kind of insane. And yeah, I don't think y'all are insane. So, but what I do think is that you value the presence of God. You want God to move. I don't believe that I'm this charismatic leader that's going to lead you into being up here 40 hours a week and you also work a normal job and all of that, I don't even have a desire to do that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to call you into a way of life where you can learn to live with God in the everyday. You can learn to live with Him on Monday through Sunday. And this is a part of your rhythm. Gathering on Sunday is a part of the rhythm of life, of our ways of life. They're all on that beautiful wall out there that you saw when you walked in. And so I'm going to talk about what it means when we say we gather on Sunday. Have any of you ever had a question before, like, hey, why do we actually gather on Sunday? Like, why do we go to church? Shake your head yes. You've asked that question before. I'm a pastor, and I ask that question all the time. I'm like, why do we even do this, right? It's a healthy question to ask. So this morning, I'm going to read a scripture to you out of Hebrews. You're probably very familiar with it. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, and that'll be in the NIV. And it says this, "Let us hold fast to the hope that we profess. For he who proclaimed is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together, for some are in the habit of doing." I say this a lot. Church attendance is a habit, and not attending church is also a habit, right? It's really this simple. People hate when I do this, but it's okay. You are full of excuses. That's the reason why you don't come to church every Sunday. It just is what it is. You have a bunch of excuses that you don't want to get over. You are not doing anything on Sunday at 10:30. You're not. Asleep. Get up. Get your pot of coffee going. But it's a habit, right? So when people are like, we can't make it, you can make it. It just has to be a priority for you. So I want to read one more part in this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur one another. One version says how we may provoke one another in love and in good deed. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray it would pierce our hearts today. Do something in us. Do something in us, Lord, that only you can do. Encourage us, uplift us, leave us going away today full of your Spirit, aware of your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Jansen, thank you, man. Man of God. Everybody give it up for Jansen this morning. I like when Jansen plays keys and gets really into it, as he makes this real, like, cool face. And it's like, it's just like, man, you know that's when it's, like, good. And it, or you see someone make a mistake, and he's just like, who did that? So always read Jansen's face for how worship is actually going. You probably never notice any of it, but he does. So, and I can pretty much tell how it went just based off his facial expressions during the time. So, but I want to talk to you about gathering on Sundays. Why do we gather on Sunday? I'm going to give you two reasons, and I'm going to talk about some things that we feel like the Spirit spoke to us when talking about these ways of life as a staff. So the first reason, we gather on Sunday to corporately worship Jesus and turn our attention to Him. That's the first reason that we gather on Sunday. If you read in Acts chapter 13, that's when the church was being formed, and it actually uses language like this. They gathered together to corporately minister to the Lord. It's so important that you understand that the first and primary reason that we're coming here, or one of the primary reasons that we're coming here every single week, is for us to corporately worship God together, right? So, like, always, this is a really fun conversation. When people have DM'd me before or sent me messages like, hey, I really didn't like worship. Well, that's okay. It wasn't for you. It was for Jesus. So it doesn't matter if you like it or not. Right? It didn't. I don't really like that song. Well, it's not for you. Like, Emily's not around, like, putting worship sets together. She's like, I wonder who's going to complain about this one. Because we don't do that around here, right? Our purpose in worship is to worship Jesus, right? Are we considerate of you? Like, would we come out and sing a song in a different language or something? Probably not. Probably not. Like, Emily's not going to be leading a song up here in Russian, right? Unless we have a Russian community that we start ministering to, and then we're going to have to hire Russian. Somebody else is going to be singing in Russian. Emily's not going to sing in Russian. German, whatever. So this is why we corporately worship and turn our attention to Jesus every Sunday, right? There's a quote on the wall out there. I don't know if you read it. It's by St. Augustine. He says this, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in God." Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Until Jesus has your attention, until he takes his proper place in your heart will be restless. And so what we do every single Sunday, that one of the primary reasons that we come together is so that we let our hearts rest in him. We come to worship him, right? Like, yes, there's tons of other reasons why you can come to church, but you better be coming to worship Jesus, right? And so I want to talk to you about the other reason really quickly. We come, first of all, for ourselves to come and worship and corporately gather together. The church comes together to worship, turn our attention to Jesus. And then the second reason that we come is to turn other people's attention to Jesus. You see a common theme here? The attention is on Jesus. It's all on Jesus. It's all about him, right? One of the things that a lot of communities, I think, well, I only know of like two other communities that even use the language that we're implementing here, and I really like that a lot. I like that our language isn't stolen. I like that it's authentic to us. There are people who all over the world probably say we gather on Sunday, right? But it's authentic to who we are, and I like that a lot. But one of the things that I think you have to keep in mind is that worship is not for you. It is for God, right? And when we turn other people's attention, that's when you start to consider your neighbor in worship, right? That's why we don't do crazy things around here, right? We don't do crazy stuff. We worship God extravagantly. We're not doing any crazy stuff around here, right? Because I'm not trying to take your attention and put it on something else. I'm trying to let it be on Jesus. I want it to only be on Jesus. And that's why, first of all, why we gather on Sunday is the why behind what we do is the most important part. It is to come together to worship Jesus, to corporately turn our attention to Jesus, and then take other people's attention and also shift it there. Let me tell you how you do that. I don't know if you watched like what was happening on the front row this morning. That's exactly how you do that, right? How do I turn other people's attention to Jesus? Don't be focused on everything going on around you. Just focus on Jesus. I remember this was years ago. Like, I don't even remember. This is probably like 2015. I've known Kelby since then, since 14, actually. I remember we were sitting on his back porch or my back porch, building a little fire in this $30 fire pit from Walmart, because he could afford more than that, but I couldn't. He worked like 12-hour days, 7 days a week, and then did not work the rest of the year, just took off the rest of the year, worked all summer like that, and then went to school and ate Webb's barbecue every day, and fun times. But he said this to me, and I'll never forget this, and this is a rule that I have actually lived by since I heard this statement in 2015. The greatest form of evangelism is people see you worshiping Jesus. They see you in love with Jesus. That's the greatest form of evangelism. Listen, I was raised in a church culture that told you that you had to do gimmicks to get people to come. Let me tell you this. If I know anything about, I have not been doing this a long time, but I'm smart enough to know, if you have to gimmick them to get in, you'll have to gimmick to keep them, right? If you have to, like, I remember one time when I was a youth pastor, I gave away $500. $500 to students, okay? So that's a big deal, right? And I'm like, listen, we're going to have these crew wars, and whoever shows up and win these crew wars, they win $500. Well, It did not dawn on me. It actually did dawn on me. I knew what I was doing, but I didn't realize how bad of a massacre this would be. Because when you post, hey, we're giving away $500 on Instagram to students, we had literally, I'm not joking when I say this, 4 Division I football players show up and they're like, we're all on a team together. This is our team. And I was like, yeah, this is going to suck for everybody else. Like, go ahead and give it to them now. And they did. They dominated everybody. They got put in some volleyball game with some not Division I athletes. And it was like, I was like, I have made a grave mistake. Like, these kids are about to die out here. One of them was about 6'5". And like the ball comes over the net. And I mean, he just absolutely spikes it as hard as he could. And this kid just, he just moves out of the way. He's like, I don't think we're going to win this one. He's like, we're not going to win this. It was a good time. But I realized then, oh, and by the way, those Division I athletes never came back to the youth group again. They came and got their $500 and left. Right? Because if you have to gimmick to get them there, you'll have to gimmick to keep them. And I do not believe in gimmicking to get people here. I believe if we get people here and they, or when people come into this room, the greatest form of evangelism is that you go out into the world and you are radically in love with Jesus. You have encountered him. You know him for real. That is how we evangelize. Like, I remember someone asked me very recently how we were going to market for the church. I was like, I have no idea. Like, I don't even know. Like, I only know that every single week I get a text and I say, hey, can you, or they say, hey, can you send me clips or like a timestamp for your sermon clip this week? That's the only thing I know about the marketing in this church. That's the only thing I know because I think they do a good job. And I'm not building this around a marketing strategy, right? Like, if we were going to build this around a marketing strategy, I would hire a marketer. But I don't. I have pastors and worship leaders who their primary focus in their lives is to be radically in love with Jesus and serve you. That's what we have here, right? And so it's like when, well, this person's not doing this or this person's not doing this. They don't have a lot of requirements. Like, be in love with God, love your family, and serve the people here, right? That's why they get paid. So, but we're going to corporately come together and we're going to worship Jesus. That's the first reason why. And then the second reason why is we're going to turn everyone who comes in these doors attention to Jesus, right? And so we believe that their life change, ultimately, it has to start there, right? If you just implement a strategy for your life, or ways of life. If you just implement these ways of life, I do believe that you'll eventually find Jesus. But I'm telling you, this only works right if you have had a real encounter with God. This only works right if you really know that, hey, what just happened in this room when Jam sang that song earlier? Like that is special. And if you live your life from that place, that's what you're creating moments for. That moment is why you get into a rhythm. Not so that you can say you're organized or whatever. But it's those moments like that, right? And, yeah, I about just, like, got up on the stage and be like, hey, y'all going to sing this the rest of the time because not really interested in preaching anymore. And so I told you why, but now I want to talk to you about the how we're going to do that here, okay? And you got to bear with me to the very end. I'm not going to take long with these, but like I've told you why, we're turning everybody's attention to Jesus. That's the purpose of gathering on Sundays. How are we going to do that? I'm going to start from when you walk into this church until you leave this church. I'm going to tell you why we do everything we do and how we do everything we do, because I want you to know. I want you to know the reason why we do all of this, and I want you to know how we do it, right? So, like, I don't know if you noticed. You should have noticed by now. We've been talking about it all morning. There's major renovations done in the lobby. Major renovations done in the lobby. That's intentional. That's very intentional. It's intentional because I want you to make connections out there, right? the flow of it, everything is intentional. The way that we have the coffee set up is intentional. I promise you, I think about everything. You can ask anybody who works with me about the way that this church is set up. Before you got here this morning, I walked by that bookshelf out there. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there were more books on one shelf than the other, and I just had to change it before you got here because I care what this place looks like. I care that you come in and see intentionality because this place is for you. It's for you to come every week and worship God and have an encounter with Jesus. But this starts with, we gather on Sundays, it starts with fellowship in the lobby. When we got together and we said, Lord, we know these ways of life that you're calling us into. How do we execute these things? When we gather on Sunday, what do we want to happen? We want you to talk in the lobby. Not during worship and not during preaching, but before church. Get here. Have some coffee. Sit down. Hang out with someone. Do what you want. Why? I truly believe this. I don't know if you remember the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Remember that story? I think it's a fantastic story to read, but a lot of times this is the reality. We are either Zacchaeus or we are the bystanders of what happened that day. And if you're not familiar with that story, basically Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in the city, and he was looking for Jesus. He wanted, his soul was all out of order. He was looking for Jesus, and he's among a group of people, and he climbs a tree. He climbs a tree. And I want you to hear this. When you're empty and when you're looking for Jesus, you'll do anything to be seen. You'll do anything to be seen. And you're either Zacchaeus or you're either the bystander. And I think you have to see this story for what it is. Jesus not only approached Zacchaeus, but was also among the bystanders. And I think that you need to know that when people come here, we want this to be a breath of fresh air for them. When people come here looking for Jesus like Zacchaeus, we do not want to make it hard for him to be found. Church, listen, I believe this. Pastor Chris Hodges said this. He pastors a very large church in Birmingham, Alabama. He said this, and I believe this with everything in my body. Church should be enjoyed. It should not be endured. Church should be enjoyed. It should not be endured. And I think a lot of times what happens is that we become so inward focused. And by I mean inward focused, I don't mean as a church necessarily. I mean as individual people, right? Like, I want this done at the church. I want this done at the church. Like, if you have a list of things that you would like to do, run it by me and volunteer to do them. And I'll either tell you yes or no. And if it's changing what the lobby looks like now, it's a no. Go ahead and tell you from the get-go. Don't even ask to move a plant for 8 weeks, okay? But listen, a lot of times when we are the bystanders, we often look at the people who come in who are looking for Jesus, and we ask probably the same question that those bystanders were asking. He was the chief tax collector. They knew who Zacchaeus was. And so let me ask you this. He stole from them, right? And on a Sunday morning, who walks through those doors that maybe steals things from you, your joy, your peace? Who steals things from you? And you have this kind of like, he's climbing that tree again. Or he's trying to be seen, right? Who walks through those doors every Sunday morning that has the potential to steal something from you? Joy, peace, happiness. They just get on your nerves. Just be very blunt this morning. You don't think they're very smart. You think they need a lot of help. And you don't really know what to do. You are either Zacchaeus, who's broken and looking for Jesus, or you're the bystander. Yes. And Zacchaeus gets on your nerves. Yep. But nevertheless, Zacchaeus is coming through the door. Yep. Every single week. Because all of us are like Zacchaeus in some way. I probably steal a lot from people. I probably get on a lot of people's nerves. I get it. Just don't look at me in worship. That's all I'm asking. I just want to worship God. You worship God. Do whatever. That's all I asked. But I want you to ask yourself this question. If someone walks through that door, are you going to be offended if they're really needy? Are you going to be offended if they lack identity or if they have identity issues? Are you going to be offended at their immaturity? You have to ask yourself all those questions. Do you mean to tell you how you're not as mature as you think you are? It's because you feel the need to point out everybody else's immaturity. Maturity is learning to patiently bear the immaturity of others. Of course, there's immaturity here at this church, right? Yes. But we give space for that. Because one time you were just as dumb. And maybe just as dumb now. This is a family. This is not a corporation that I'm building. This is a safe place for you to come every single week and have conversations in the lobby. And that just starts a moment that we are trying to create for you. I'm being dead serious. The lobby is so intentional for us, right? Everything starts there. And we are just trying to, you may walk in here with layers, and the whole lobby is just to peel one back. Everything that takes place out there. We have people set up in places to connect with you to intentionally try to peel back those layers. We have a rule here. Nobody comes to our church and doesn't get talked to. Right? I think I'm going to call it the gauntlet. That's what we're going to call our lobby. You come here, you have to go through the gauntlet. Yes. Amen, Tom. You have to come through here, right? What do I mean by that? You're going to be met with love. You're going to be met with joy and kindness. And so I said this last week, but I want to say this again. The job of the people of God is to love the broken. And the job of the broken is to be loved by the people of God. And I think it's so important that you let yourself be where you're at in here on a Sunday morning. Can I just be your pastor for a second? We know. We know when you're not doing all right. Yes. You can't hide it. Right. We meet with people all the time. We know. We know when you're not feeling yourself. So let go of the dang mask. Yes. Stop trying to pretend like everything's fine when it's not, and let the people here who are in relationship with Jesus, which is the majority of us, right? Let those people love you. Right? Let those people love you. Just quit with the mask crap. I want to call it something else, but I won't. I'm serious. Because that's all it is. It's just crap. It's fake. And God is not going to bless the fake you. Do you mean it? He will intentionally not bless the fake you. So I'll give you a good example of this. What just happened with Jam this morning on this stage? That's what that looks like. Yes. Letting go of all the crap. Yes. We know when you're not okay. Yes. We know. It's like a radar goes off. Yes. I remember several weeks ago, someone walked in the church, and I was just like, something ain't right. And I called them after church. I was like, hey, are you okay? They're like, absolutely not. Yeah. We know. So just let the mask down, right? Enough with that crap. Be loved by the people of God. We're trying to get you in this room in moments like we just had so that Jesus can touch your heart. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. It ain't like, we're not just like, I said this in huddle this morning. It's not like we're just coming here to be friendly with everyone. Right? There's an actual reason why we come here, And it's Jesus. So that you can have an encounter with Jesus. Everything that we do is a setup for every person that walks through those doors. Every serve team, every single serve team at this church, it is done with the intention to set people up for an encounter with God. Every single light that's hung in here, by the way, Wes stayed here for 40-something straight hours to get all this lighting done for you. Give him a hand. I'm just giving you an example. This is to serve our church better. It's not just because we like lights. They're expensive. We don't just like them. Right? If we could just like snap our fingers and lights appear, that'd be a lot easier. Let me tell you what I also don't like. I really don't like buying them. It's important, though. It's important that we create an environment and an atmosphere that is conducive for you to have an encounter with Jesus. That starts in the lobby, though. So next thing is worship environment, right? When we talk about worship here, I want to read a verse to you. Our verses, Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his unfailing love continues forever and his faithfulness continues to each generation. When we asked the Lord what our worship needed to look like here, this is the verse that he gave us. Me and Emily were sitting in that office. I'm like, what do you feel? She's like, I've been feeling this Psalm 100. And then there was a few other verses. But like worship here, like here are a few words that we like prayed into. Freedom. You have freedom to worship here, right? Don't smack anybody in the head with a shofar or anything like that, and we'll be good. At the old church, we had a Rode shofar here one Sunday morning. Wes remembers. I thought we were having sound issues. There's a lady in the back. I was like, dang. And then she snuck it in. Like, we didn't even know she had it. Like a trench coat. You pull out a shofar. What are you doing? It was very weird. It was very weird. And we were all confused. And everybody in the church that were facing this way, and they go, all right, I'm just going to pretend like I'm not hearing anything. That breaks the attention being on Jesus. It's a rogue shofar. It's just, I mean, my God, just pass it around. Let everybody get a chance. Yeah. Wipe it off. Pass the Clorox wipes. We said the word freedom. We want worship to be celebratory here. We want to celebrate everything God's done in our lives, right? We want it to be enjoyable, right? We want you to enjoy worship here. How many of you have ever been in some worship services that you didn't enjoy? I've been in a lot, if I can be honest with you. Been in a lot. We want it to be light. I don't want it to feel like a burden to worship in here, right? And that means you need to be light. Right? Let go of all the stuff. We want it to be inviting, right? That's like our worship is literally geared toward Jesus. I heard this quote one time from Miss Karen Wheaton, actually said this. She was a great worship leader for seems like 50 years or something like that. But she said this. She's like, when you are leading people, you have to lead with one eye closed and one eye open. Meaning one eye locked on Jesus and one eye to take the people where they need to go. And when we think about worship, when we talk about worship around here, it is first and foremost to Jesus. But it's also inviting you to turn your attention to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It's not just we're up here singing whatever songs we would like to sing, right? we want to sing what we feel like that we should sing on a Sunday morning and invite you with us to go wherever we're going. And invite the city, your friends, your family that are not here, that will be here at some point. That's why, that's what we talk about when we talk about worship. Listen, it's a moment. Our worship services are moments where we want you to get real with God. We want you to get real with God in that moment. And a lot of times, I'm going to tell you what it takes. Sacrifice. Your ego. Your feelings. Your image. Right? You have to sacrifice those things. Right? And it's worth it. I don't do crazy stuff in worship, but I sure don't care if you think that I worship too crazy. Right? Because, like, why would I? Like, this is God. Like, we are worshiping God. Not a band on a stage, God. Like, they don't come in here. Wes and Emily do not lead the worship department, like, scheming up how they can entertain you. That's not what this is for. This is for your attention to be turned to Jesus. And that's what, that's, so we've started in the lobby. We want you to make connections with people, to peel back layers so that they can come into these moments in worship and encounter Jesus. The third part of our Sunday service and why we gather on Sundays is to hear the Word of God. Is to hear the Word of God. This is what 2 Timothy says about this. It's Paul writing to Timothy. He says this, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. That's part of the Apostles' Creed, by the way. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Listen, patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming where people will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their ears are itching to hear. We have a lot of that in the body of Christ. A lot of that in the body of Christ. You need, listen, I have to say this because, listen, I'm not saying this because I need a power trip. Okay, I'm just going to say this. I have to bring correction. It's part of my job. I have to teach the word that cuts on you a little bit. I have to do that. I have to say things that are going to bother you. Jesus said a lot of things that bothered people a lot. Like, he bothered everybody. Jesus was not like a liked guy, right? He didn't have a PR guy either, right? He didn't have people like following around like, hey, maybe you want to lay off this week. And then he turns around, there's all these people following him, and he's like, I'll leave this up to their interpretation. I'm just going to drop a little one-liner real quick. He turns around and he's like, eat my flesh, drink my blood, and if you don't want to do that, you don't want to follow me. This keeps on strolling. I'm serious. Could you imagine? Put yourself in that scenario. Put yourself in that scenario. Right? It was to really see if they wanted to follow Jesus or not. Sometimes you are going to be challenged here. You're going to be challenged here. And I'm not going to apologize for it. You need to be challenged. Right? You need to be encouraged. You're going to be encouraged when you come here. I'm going to encourage you. I don't want you to feel like that you have no shot at following Jesus. I don't want you to feel like that because you've screwed it up so many times, you can't do this. That's the number one lie that people believe in church. They're so full of condemnation and self-hatred that they believe that they cannot do this. There's too many standards. There's too many demands. And all of that is religion anyway. When you start talking about standards and demands and they don't come from the place of love, they come just because you're supposed to follow them. That's the nature of a Pharisee. Because what you have made up in your mind is that if I follow these rules and I live up to these standards, then I'm going to be loved. And then God's really going to look on me with favor. And it's the gospel, the message of Jesus is the exact opposite of that. It is that he loves you and calls you into a place of your true self that's only found within him. And as he calls you into that, your behavior begins to change. It's not, I change my behavior and then I get all these things. And I don't care how sinful it is. Now, don't be doing anything that hurts other people. But I'm telling you, if you just change your behavior for the sake of changing your behavior, it will not stay changed for long. If you don't change because of the love of God, you did not change. You became more disciplined, which is not bad. I need to become more disciplined. I need to stop eating so much sugar, right? And bread. And other things that are making me gain weight. But you need to be sure that you know, and we're going to talk about a lot of this, that your the way that you are as a son or daughter, your identity as a son or daughter, does not change based on your behavior. It does not change based on your behavior. Your behavior will change based on your identity. Right? And if you blow it, if you go and watch porn, or you go and have an affair, or you go and blow it, the biggest way that you know how to blow it, that still does not change the way that God feels about you. Right? If you go and get high and drunk and shoot a meth needle in your arm, it still doesn't change the way that God feels about you. That's what the Word of God is actually saying. That's the whole message of the Bible. That's what the story of the Bible is that your unfaithfulness did not play a factor if he was going to be faithful or not. Your ability to keep your end of the deal did not matter. That's the story of the Bible. That's the story of Jesus, is that no matter how unfaithful you are, you cannot change him. Right? Kelby reminded me of this, and I think this is pretty interesting because I was holding Beckham's hand on the way, walking him over there. There's an author, his name's T.F. Torrance, and he says this. He was walking with his daughter, and his daughter was holding his hand. And he writes in this, I don't know what book it is or whatever, but he writes that it's not her holding on to my hand that keeps her steady. It's me holding on to her hand that keeps me steady. And that's the nature of God. It's not that you have a tight grip on the hand of God. It's that God has you in a tight grip. Right? Right? And there's nothing that you can do to get your hand out of his hand, even if you think that you've done that. Well, I did all of this stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. You know why people don't like this message? Because it becomes less about them. It becomes less about them and more about his faithfulness. Well, I screwed this up. Well, he didn't. That's what the message of the Bible is. That's the teaching that we're getting here. That's the teaching that you're going to get here. And if people are like, well, what about holiness? The fact that he's holding my hand is what makes me holy. Not because I make all the right moves. Like, if your holiness was dependent upon you, you're screwed. You're going to hell. But the Bible teaches that he was faithful when you weren't. And that's what you're going to hear when you come here. And that's the message that we tell people. When people are broken and hurting, they don't need to hear, fix yourself. For years, For years, the church has preached that message. How? I do feel like that there's a shift happening in the body of Christ as it pertains to this. But also, I feel like that there are still people who are digging their heels in on the message that if you just say no to enough things and change the way that you live, that everything will work out. And I'm telling you, that is a way that seems right to a man, and that leads to destruction. That seems right, but it's not. That sounds catchy. And you mean to tell you what it is? It's your ego being stroked. And that thing needs to die anyway. It's your ego being told, I can do this. And that is the whisper of the enemy every time. But we don't like. And listen, it's far harder to change and take that mindset that, oh, God is going to love the hell out of me. He's going to love all the sin out of me. When? Have no idea. When is this going to get right and fixed in my life? I don't know. But I'm trusting the slow work of God in my life. I'm trusting Him to work. That's the whole point of a rhythm. It's the whole point of a rhythm. It's for you to get caught up in a rhythm with God where His love is made your primary focus at all times. And that is what will change your life. You're probably, like this is probably my favorite thing to preach on because it is the message of Jesus. You know how like people say all the time, like, Easter is the hardest service to preach? It's not for me. It's really not for me. The message of Easter is, we all royally screwed this up, and Jesus fixed it, and is fixing it. And I don't know why people struggle with that. Actually, I do know why. People do struggle with that message, and here's why. Because it requires nothing of you other than to be loved. And when people can't put their hands on all of your behavior, it's a threat to them. Because they can't get you to look like that you're right with God. And I'm not trying to build a church that looks like they're right with God. I am building a church where I tell you, Jesus made you right with God. And from that place, you live. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what we're going to preach to people here. Last thing, or last couple things. The next thing is that we want this on Sunday mornings to be a place where you serve people. Serving our neighbor is in our rhythm of life. You can serve at this church every Sunday. Actually, you can't. 3 out of 4 Sundays. We make you rest here. It is Resting Place Church. You can serve as much as you would like and as much as we will let you. Because serving every week is not good for you. You just sometimes need to come to church. People all the time, they're like, oh, why do you have guest speakers in? Well, I only have guest speakers in that I know, but also it's to give me a break. I unapologetically tell people that. Like, so you can't preach every week? Yes, I can preach every week. I used to preach every week, twice a week, for 2 years straight, an hour of content at a time. I worked for my uncle. He was a Baptist pastor, and you don't show up with any less than an hour of content. If so, you're going to get rebuked. If you get out of church early, that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing in the Baptist church. This is what I want to say, the last thing. This, it's a place where you can serve. It's a place where you can use every gift that God gifted you with. And I want you to jump on a serve team and do that because this does not just happen. And here's what I want to say about serving. When everyone does a little bit, the load and the weight of what we're trying to do gets real light.
it gets real light. So jump on a team and start serving immediately. I'm serious as a heart attack. Today, go to Connect Point and say, hey, I want to serve. And they're going to give you information on where you can serve. Go talk to Jake if you want to join a team. He will get you the contact information of a team leader so that you can serve. Last thing, this will always, always be a place for the next generation. Right? When we were talking about Sundays, we were like, what do we want to include in all of this? And one of the things that popped up for us, like one of the things that we felt like that we were always supposed to think about, that we were also always supposed to be praying for, be putting money into. You know, we have a full-time kids pastor here. Okay, I'm going to just explain something to you. That does not exist in church culture unless you have about 600 people in your church. So what do you mean? What do you mean, like, what? So how do we invest into our kids department? I hired a full-time employee to be there for the people who have children. This will always be a church that is focused on and has our eyes on the next generation. Always. It can never not be that. Right? Because you know what this church will be in 50 years if it's not? It won't. It won't be. What God's doing, and somebody can come along in 50 years from now. I'm not going to be pastoring this church in 50 years. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to be retired. Me and Timmy, we're going to be retired. Be neighbors, walk outside every morning and complain about kids driving too fast. It's my dream. Yeah, coffee on the porch and just walk outside and you're just, the sun is shining and it's just like, You just walk out and you're like, dang, them kids, they're going to get hurt. Just telling you. And I want a real nice house when I retire too. No apologies. Timmy, you can build it by then. But this will always be a place for, you can come on up, Jansen or Jake. Yeah, man of God. Jake, man of God. This will always be a house that's focused on the next generation. So why do we gather on Sundays? To turn people's attention to Jesus. How do we do that? How do we do that? Fellowship in the lobby that peels back layers, one layer at a time. We do that through worship in here, where we actually are provoking people to turn their attention towards Jesus. Then we do that by teaching, me teaching you the Word of God, me telling you that you need to look at Jesus. That's what teaching is for, by the way, is to move you into a place where you see Jesus more clearly. Like in heaven, there won't be teaching. What do you need to teach about? You're there. You made it. Yeah. Got in by the skin of your teeth. Yeah. And then this is always going to be a place where we serve other people who come in. And this will always be a place where our eyes and our attention is turned towards the next generation. Good? Yes. Cool. Stand up with me. This is the first part of our sacred rhythm. And these next few messages over the next few weeks, you're not going to want to miss these, right? Because I'm telling you everything about our church that you could possibly want to know. Listen, today when you leave, we want to connect with you in the lobby. So stay around, hang out, go to Connect Point. It's right outside this door if you want to, if you're a guest here and we want to get to know you. We want to get to know you. If you, it's maybe your first or second, maybe third time here, go and stop by Connect Point. We want to meet you and get to know you. And so I'm going to pray for you this morning, then we're going to be dismissed, and we will meet right back here at 10:30 next week. Father, I thank you for every person in the room today. Lord, I pray that you would bless them as they go. I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would meet every need that they have this week. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all you're doing inside of Resting Place Church. Pray that you would continue to move among us, continue to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See you next week at 10:30.